Listeners like you make living on Earth possible each week. Please contribute today by clicking on the donate link to the left of the page. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood. Every year, former President Bill Clinton invites more than 1,000 movers and shakers to his global initiative. And this year, once again, much of the focus was on clean water and climate change. Among those in the crowd, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, Alicia Keys, former Vice President Al Gore, and Van Jones. Van Jones is the co-founder of the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights in Oakland, California, and has become perhaps the leading proponent of a movement to link the fight against poverty to the fight against global warming. Van Jones calls his plan Green for All, and he joins me now on the line from California. Hi, Van. How are you?
How are you?
Good. So tell me about Green for All.
Well, a lot of people are very excited about the transition to a cleaner, greener strategy for the U.S., but what people haven't figured out is there aren't going to be any magical green fairies to go around and put up all these solar panels or build all these wind farms. They're going to have to be U.S. workers. And right now, we do not have a national strategy to train the millions of people who are going to be needed to work in a green, clean economy. For instance, in Northern California, there's already a labor shortage for putting up solar panels. People want them. The technology's there. The capital's there. They don't have the trained workers. So we say, well, hold on a minute. We got all these people in low-income communities who need jobs, and now we've got all these new green-collar jobs that are opening up. And we came up with a plan, and we call it Green for All. It's $1 billion from the federal government over a four-year period to infuse all of our community colleges, public schools, vocational schools, with the dollars to be able to start training people to meet this coming labor demand.
So let's say for a kid who's growing up in a tough neighborhood, say right there in Oakland, you know, surrounded by some polluting industry. How does installing solar panels sound as a career path?
Well, you know, it's amazing. Most people would assume that it's something that you would have to really convince somebody to want to do, or that it would be so outside the frame of reference. But, you know, these young people are really smart. And it only takes about, you know, 90 seconds to say, you know, billions of dollars are moving into a new industry. They don't have enough workers. If you get in now, do a good job, you know, you can move up, you know, relatively quickly, and you could be making anywhere from $21, $30, $35 an hour. People, hey, sign me up. I mean, it's not a hard sell. There's a wonderful program, which I just can't stop bragging on, called Solar Richmond, where they, you know, got a modest amount of money, got 20 guys, you know, low-income African-American, Latino, Filipino, one African-American woman. For 9 weeks, these guys got up, these young women got up every morning. They had to be there at 9 o'clock. They had to learn these skills. 9 weeks later, they did their first installation. There were local TV cameras there. Solar employers were there saying, hey, we need workers. And, you know, the look on these young people's faces, often these are the young men who are always seen as the villains. And yet here they are 9 weeks later, African-American, Latino, with the, you know, baggy pants, the hair, whatever, but they've got their work boots on, they've got their orange jerseys on, and they're doing this work, and they are the ecological heroes. This is the new face of the environmental movement. The next step for the environmental movement will be to embrace a social uplift environmentalism that says the way we solve our ecological problems will be to create wealth, health, and work opportunities for people who were left out of the pollution-based economy. We're going to lock them into this new clean and green economy, and in that way we can save the polar bears and these, you know, these poor kids too.
Where are they going to be doing this work? They're going to be driving out of Oakland out into Marin County to these multi-million-dollar homes to do this work, or, well, where will they be working?
Well, I'll tell you what, right now the way that the you know, the renewable energy is structured, that would be all that they were able to do. But what you have to realize is as we move forward, 1% of the world's landmass is cities. But that's where 80% of the global warming pollution is coming from. So the huge retrofit job that we need is an urban agenda. So the thing about it is that we've got to make it possible for low-income people to fold solar into their mortgage payments. They just pay just a little bit more every month on their mortgage, but those solar panels go up right away. We've got to come up with creative financing so that the people who most need to get their energy bills cut have the access to that technology, and their cousins, their nieces, their nephews, their children are getting trained to actually implement that technology. That's when you actually begin to see the emergence of a fundamentally new economy. The first industrial revolution hurt the people and the planet too. The second industrial revolution, carbon constrained, much smarter on resources, much smarter on water, energy. The next industrial revolution has to help the people and the planet. And in order to do that, you've got to put people to work, and not just as workers, but on their way to managers, owners, investors, inventors. You've got to bring people who were left out of that pollution-based economy into the heart of the green economy.
Van, looking back at your experience at the Clinton Global Initiative, there were a lot of great ideas being floated there. Everything from reforestation in the Brazilian Amazon to water sanitation in India, green education for Chinese mayors, and of course, your notion of green for all. What was it like being there to witness this, well, maybe we should call it a philanthropic juggernaut in action?
Well, you know, it was really overwhelming. I mean, you know, you're there. And you know how it is with these conferences. You go, you sit down at a panel at a workshop, and you look up, and there's Brad Pitt, you know, making a speech about how we need to green New Orleans and green the Ninth Ward, and how he's, you know, putting, you know, millions of dollars of his own money into it. And you're like, is this a fantasy? Like, I mean, what is this? And, you know, you turn around and, you know, there's Bill Clinton, you know, marching with these energy CEOs, and you're thinking, oh, God, you know, these are people, you know, fighting my whole life. And, you know, they're up there waxing eloquent and getting weepy about how they're going to cut all this carbon out of the economy, and they've got the power to do it. So it's an interesting moment because the politics of climate change have moved from the margin of science and the margin of politics to the very center. And I think that those of us who've been fighting for, you know, environmental and social justice for a long time, it's easy to get, oh, wow, you know, we've made it. It's super exciting. We can invite these things now. I think we've got to say very clearly, any movement that goes from the margin to the center has to answer a moral question, and that's this: who will we take with us and who will we leave behind? And it would be very easy at this point for the eco-elite, and I put myself in that, to say, hey, you know, we've made it, you know, Bill Clinton and all these people love us, but you still have the majority of people in America who have not been included in this environmental revolution, and the next step has to be to include them too.
Van Jones is a lawyer and co-founder of the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights in Oakland. Thank you so much, Van.
Well, I'm happy to get a chance to be on the show again, and thank you for your interest.